Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, presented by Betches Media. This is an exploration of all pop culture, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. We're looking at you, Tom Sandoval. Folks, welcome to the show. Welcome to your week. This is going to be an all-new pop culture roundup. I'm not going to be do my normal monologue at the beginning because I'm in Ohio with family. There's still an all-new episode that we just recorded, though. Me and Sophie Ross, we cover Vanderpump Rules, The Traitors, everything. But I do want to say I got it wrong because I had not watched the Grammys yet. And I've only gotten to watch a small piece. But as soon as I was done, I went upstairs. Taylor Swift was accepting an award. And she is not doing Reputation Taylor Swift's version. She is actually releasing the Tortured Poets Department album on April 19th. The Tortured Poets Department. I'm not sure I like that title. It feels like something I potentially would have written in my journal in junior high. But listen, I mean, she's doing another album. The album cover is already on her Instagram. So I just wanted to put that up top. We will talk all about this more tomorrow, along with all of the Grammy highlights, because I think there has been a couple. I just watched Jay-Z's speech where he brought his daughter Blue Ivy on stage. I thought that was amazing. So we'll cover all that tomorrow on Tuesday's episode. Make sure you're subscribed. Rated 5 stars, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And also we did a hour and 10 minute Patreon Q&A episode over there, if that's your thing. But I hope you guys have the best start to your week ever. And this is just a really fun, silly podcast. I needed this laugh. So hopefully you guys will have some laughs listening to it too. So have a great Monday and I will talk to you on Tuesday. Bye. Folks, welcome to your week. It's an all-new episode of So Bad It's Good. I'm excited for this one in particular because we have a pop culture roundup and the one, the only, if you're watching this on YouTube, she looks fabulous. Sophie Ross, welcome back to the show.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
I say, what are you dressed up for? The Grammys? And she's like, no, we were just out and about. We were just out and about. Grammys.
We were out and about. And then before we record, I just like, you know, touch up my makeup. You know, I'm just a girl. I'm just a girl.
You're just a girl in the world.
But like, I haven't showered in 2 days. I was on my deathbed yesterday.
Guys, just so you everybody knows, why she was on her deathbed. She had her engagement party on Friday night. And what happened at because by the way, I think this when you're on, especially, we need updates about the wedding, the engagement, all of this stuff. So what happened at the engagement party that you were so ill on Saturday?
I can't. First of all, it was just like not, it was a casual thing. So like,
does not sound casual.
I know. I'm like, I feel bad being like, this was our official engagement party. It basically was like, because we got engaged right before the holidays. We didn't have a chance to like celebrate with our New York friends. So we found, you know, this one weekend that worked for people. And, you know, we went to East Point, which is also where we had the watch parties for Vanderpump. Last spring, and it's just like one of my favorite bars. I love it. And they have Aperol Spritz pitchers.
Oh, gross.
Aperol Spritz pitchers.
Big pitcher of Aperol Spritz.
I love it. Yeah, like, fuck yeah. Also have like Prosecco with like fresh fruit that you can order, like a whole thing of Prosecco with like a whole thing of fresh fruit. That we got like buckets of beers. And then they came out with like a sign that was like, congrats, Sophie and Henry. And then handed us, I don't take shots anymore, but everyone was staring at us. They handed us shots. So then I felt like I had to take the shot. And then it was just like all downhill from there. So
I like you're like Tom Schwartz. I only do half shots. I only do half shots now.
I'm California sober starting yesterday.
Oh, but, just like DJ James Kennedy. Yeah. California sober.
I didn't even make it to midnight. And like everyone was having so much fun. Like I organized it. So I was happy that like everyone was having so much fun. I had so much fun. But then I was like, I need to go home because I'm sick. And then like we didn't even make it to midnight. All of a sudden we were like in the Uber home. We were like, wait, it's 11:30.
Dude, that's the biggest sign you're ready to be married is that you can't, make it past midnight. So you
wait,
got
enough
sick.
About me though. You were just in Cincinnati.
By the way, you guys, if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll notice a different background. I'm in Columbus, Ohio right now, but I was in Cincinnati just this morning for the last day and a half. That's where Sophie, the mean streets where Sophie was raised. And I got a real sense of why Sophie is the way she is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was talking to cousin Hillary who actually knew Sophie and was like, but she, I was like, oh, is this like a big go out place? And she was like, no, a lot of house parties and stuff like that. And I was just picturing young Sophie around the streets of Cincinnati. I saw the stadium where Joe Burrow, your love plays. We had a 75th birthday dinner at this guy. It was right by the football stadium.
Jeff Ruby's.
Yes.
Best steak. And I love how that's like one restaurant. I'm like, yeah, Jeff Ruby's.
Joe Burrow's name is on the menu.
Yeah, he has a dish at Jeff Ruby's. It's like a Creole, like, it's a really good steakhouse, by the way, guys. Not just by Cincinnati standards, it's like genuinely really good steak.
And they had this thing where they like would wheel out this like container with like dry ice, and it was a Air Jordan shoe that was a cake. But like the presentation would be insane. It was like $100 and you could get like a cake, like an Air Jordan shoe cake that they wheeled out with dry ice. And it was wild. But yeah, so now I'm in Columbus because it's my grandma's 100th birthday and spent the day.
Happy birthday, Grandma.
It's wild. And I was like hoping to get her on the podcast, but it was just at the, it just wouldn't have been good for anybody involved. And it was one of those things where it's like 100 years. It's amazing. She's so beautiful. I mean, she really does look great. What a beautiful smile. But it was just, you know, those things where like, oh, this would not be fun for the podcast. You know, like, you know,
I don't know.
Imagine 100 years of memories. Imagine 100 years of memories.
100 years. Like that's something. That is something.
And I was trying to explain what a podcast was again. And that's always hard with anybody, no matter their age, like, you know, any age. It's hard. But it was nice, but it was just so many, I don't know. I think, you know, I'm so glad to be talking to you right now because it's just been so, I mean, this year, it's just so many memories and you know, thinking about my mom and being here and in Columbus was where I was born and where my mom and dad met and like they grew up here. And it's been a little, you know, I don't know. It's been a little emotional. Yeah. And my grandma's sitting there going like, oh, I've had such a great life. But she'll repeat the same, like I've had a great life every 10 minutes and it's beautiful. But then you're at this assisted living facility, not to bring it down, but you're like all these people that nobody comes to visit and nobody, you know, and I just like, we were talking to them and I was just like, God, I should throw Vanderpump Rules watch parties here. Like, you know, get all these like people at the assisted living facility into Vanderpump Rules.
But also like, if you do, like I have family in assisted living facilities, you might be surprised by how much fucking fun some of these places are. They have like game nights. There's like gossip and like some of them are sleeping together and there's like a lot of like social events.
No, well, I will say this lady that's right next to my grandma, she hit on my dad. She was like, you are so handsome.
Hell yeah.
Then my dad brought her a bottle of Moscato because she said he was handsome. And I was like, Dad, this lady's playing you just to get the bottle of Moscato.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
So easy. Okay. So anyways, but I will say Cincinnati was kind of awesome. And
wait, did you get Skyline?
No. So because I ate so much. And the thing is, if you're doing like a 2-hour drive then to Columbus, I wasn't going to load up on chili after I had like eaten a big steak dinner. I wanted to so badly and it was right there. But like, I've got a podcaster's ass as is. I can't just keep adding to that.
I'm not happy about that.
I'm not happy either about it.
You can
body
get it in Columbus though, and you should.
Okay,
and
but I was told by the family that said, they said it's not as good in Columbus. Cincinnati is the best Skyline.
Well, Cincinnati is the birthplace. If you're listening to this and you're like, what is Skyline? It's like the Cincinnati signature Cincinnati dish. I feel like I've explained it so many times. So I'm sorry if you've heard me explain it before, but it's like this thin, it's not like the type of like chili that you're picturing where it's like chunky, like Texas style chili. It's a really thin, like sweet sauce. And you put it on like overcooked spaghetti piled with shredded cheddar cheese, like a pile of it. And that's a three-way. You can add onions or beans, make it a four-way, a five-way. And you can also do like a cheese coney, put it on a hot dog. Like, it's just so freaking good. And before you are like, ew, that sounds disgusting, try it. Try it. I'm telling you. Oh, I'm telling you.
I have no issue with it. I mean, like, I was, but I will say we went to like this, we went to a sign museum. We went to the old train station where they have museums. Like,
oh,
we,
yeah. I love that museum.
I mean, actually, it was kind of wildly beautiful, the ceiling of that museum, but it was, it was great.
My childhood, I used to run those streets.
Oh, I can tell. And by the way, you know, cousin Hillary knew or knew of you. You had mutual friends, and she was like, I've been following her wedding. She had an engagement party last night. I was like, I know. I texted her. I think she's wildly hungover right now.
Hi, cousin Hillary.
Yes.
Speaking of like food, we DoorDashed. By we, I mean I'm not bringing my fiance into this. I DoorDashed four times yesterday. That has to be a new record. It wasn't just breakfast, lunch, dinner. It was breakfast, lunch, dinner, then Popeyes at 11 p.m. And I had Chick-fil-A breakfast. The Chick-fil-A breakfast, by the way, was really good. You guys, I highly, highly recommend.
By the way, this is now a food podcast, right? This is like this is.
Well, I feel like if you've been listening to our episodes for a while, it's kind of a throwback to like when I would be eating KFC, like single on my couch. So we've come a long way.
Wait, does your fiance look at those days and be like, what the hell did I get myself into?
Honestly, he loves it. Popeyes was the only one that was his idea last night. Every other meal was me, but Popeyes, he was
and
like,
you made him wait till 11 p.m. for his idea to be taken in. Amazing. Okay, so that's what we've been up to in our little lives, but there has been so much going on in terms of pop
like this little life.
I swear to God, if Kim Kardashian does that TikTok video with that song, I think I like this little life, and she's like on a gold jet somewhere, I'm gonna be livid. Okay, so let's get the big one before. I really want to talk about the traitors on Peacock, but I want to talk about, let's get into the Vanderpump Rules season premiere, because that happened. It got huge ratings, very exciting. But what did you think overall?
I mean, it was good. We're still, you know, I guess we're what, 3 months out from Scandoval? First of all,
when they filmed this, it was 3 months out of Scandoval.
Yeah. I love Sheena making Scandoval somehow about herself. It's like so iconic.
I hate to stand up for. Okay,
no, I honestly am not. I appreciate her opening up about the fact that she's on SSRIs and that, you know, stress and all of the publicity and just like attention that they've been getting has.
Well, she had to go to court. She had to go to court because of
Rachel. She had a restraining order. Like, I feel like it probably was really destabilizing for like all of them. So like, I appreciate that, but like, still, I just like love.
It is like, that's what's so great about Sheena is that she's been with this show from the beginning. And it's one of those things like how we can never escape our essential personas. Like, you know, I'll always be this worrier no matter how much success I have in my life. I will always probably like, we can't escape these basic things about ourselves. And I think that's endearing in some ways, but it is funny how like Sheena was just getting beat up right and left right after that episode of like, of course Sheena would make it about herself. And I thought, how hysterical when we're yelling at this person, when it's like, why don't you give a little bit of that energy over to Tom Schwartz? Why Tom Schwartz is still escaping persecution. Like, Sandoval is whatever, but Schwartz is like, I'm not Sandoval. You got to understand. But we're still forgetting that he did help engineer in a triangle him, Rachel, and Tom. And Rachel is the only person that is admitting to any of this now. The rest of those guys,
exactly.
It's not scot-free, but it is pretty damn close.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's also like, I don't know, Schwartz just always gets away with whatever the fuck he wants. Yes.
And he's so charming and nice and funny that I can understand why. And because he's so nice and he doesn't come off crazy and indignant like Tom does.
In the flashback, the flashback of last season when Schwartz is like, oh my God, I'm so happy to be done with Katie. I do not miss her whatsoever. That was like the one time where like I was like, that's the real Schwartz. He was so 1000% genuine. Like, he was so genuine in that moment. I was like, that's Schwartz. Like, the mask kind of like came off a little bit, but otherwise he always has that little like charming veneer on, you know?
Do you trust Schwartz with plants?
No, obviously not.
By the way, wouldn't it be great by the end of the season, every one of those plants is just completely dead?
Obviously.
Yeah.
The other thing that I thought was funny was Lala wearing her Send It to Daryl merch while talking about like extending the olive branch to Raquel.
After she had, That's great.
Profited. Got like squeezed all the juice out of it that she possibly could. And now she extends the olive branch to Raquel.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
So a lot of people are looking at that a bunch of different ways because it's like, okay, Lala's like kind of smart. Like, it gives her a storyline. And also,
again, Lala like making it about herself. She's like, look, like I've been the other woman, and like making it about like her and Rand, like, shut up.
Like, but isn't it funny that she finally, like, Lala is so funny because she always like, she always admits to everything that we've been saying like 6 years after the fact. She'll be like, at the end of the day, all the things people said to me were true, said about me were true. Like, she's like, they were all true. And I was like, that's really like, that's okay. That's really, that's something. Wow, you really said something there. But then you're like, I just thought it was so funny in that last scene with Ariana saying, Ariana, why don't you fully let me in? I sometimes feel like you keep me at an arm's length. And then Ariana's like, no, I think, you know, it's great. Everything's good. And she's like, oh, by the way, I also did reach out to Rachel. You know, like on the same scene, I thought, I was like, this is why she potentially keeps you at arm's length.
Yeah, you're like, wondering why she keeps you at arm's length. Like, that's freaking why.
It's so funny.
It's, well, like, I get it because I feel like, you know, not only have the tides turned in terms of like Ariana, like there's a lot of people on social media being like, and like that scene of Lala from, you know, the upcoming season. Like,
I never saw somebody get cheated on and become God.
And become a God. Like, people are saying that online as well. They're like, all she did was get cheated on. And like, now she's so full of herself. And also the tides have turned kind of where people are like, oh, Raquel, like everyone was too hard on her. And I see. I get the Raquel thing. Honestly, I do. I think that Lala should have talked to Ariana before she made that decision to reach out. Like,
but then Lisa was like, don't do it. Have it be a surprise for the dear girl. Like, Lisa looked like she had a female boner when Lala said that to her. Like, oh, you're so wise for reaching out to
her. Oh, my God.
Thank you. Isn't it funny that they've all signed on to this show? Like, it's like golden handcuffs where, like I always said, if you watch the show at this thing of like, they can't escape the show. So it's like, they have to find a way to work together. And it's like misery because in essence, who would ever really truly want to be on the show after you did get cheated on by somebody that you're in a 9-year relationship with one of your friends on the show? Like, nobody would want to stay on that show. But at the same time, yeah, I want a paycheck. Like, fuck yes, right. I do.
I also like understood, and I was like rooting for Raquel when she decided to leave the show. But now it's like, you could have negotiated as much money as you wanted and like, obviously do whatever's best for your mental health. She's doing a podcast, though. Like, she's still, like, spilling all of it on her podcast, but she could have been, you know, having this lucrative career and telling her side of the story to this, like, wider audience of over a million people every single week.
Well, that's it. Sophie, you're right. Like, that's it. Because the podcast, by the way, I've listened to a couple episodes. I find it fine. It's good information. And I hear some people saying they like it. But, like, you're right, though. Being on Vanderpump Rules is a much bigger audience than any of their podcasts will ever be. You know, just because most people don't even know how to still fucking listen to a podcast. So I think you're right in that sense. Speaking of podcasts, though, I did want to bring that up because Rachel, everybody would have bet like she would have been the worst podcast out of all the Vanderpumpers. She's not the worst one. I mean, and also Tom Sandoval needs to be stopped from ever doing another podcast again in terms of like, lie to people, Tom. Tell them that production won't let you do podcasts because it does not do you any favors. And I am speaking of one of our favorites. We've always championed Nick Vial, We've always been a big fan always championed him. And he did a 2.5 hour interview where he left in 40 minutes of Tom Sandoval being late for the podcast. Then they argued about being late for the podcast for like 20 minutes, almost to the point that I thought it was a bit. And then we got into it and it kind of ruined the season for me, Sophie, because I realized, oh my God, we don't have a redemption season for Tom Sandoval because he is still as miserable and bitter.
He's learned nothing.
Oh, he's angrier.
He's like, dude, I got beaten down again and again and again. That's what led me to make those decisions. I didn't listen to
I was this small. I was this small, dude. You don't even know, dude. I was this small.
Wait, so Ryan and I were texting, though. So, like, when that interview happened, I didn't listen to the episode. I just, like, watched the clips on social media. But Vulture, they posted how the Vial files became Meet the Press for reality TV. So a write-up about Nick Vial. And then in the Instagram caption, blah, blah, there are plenty of podcasts hosted by reality stars that cover, you know, reality TV, but nobody brings such nuanced and in-depth analysis to the genre. Like, are you fucking kidding me, Walter? Are you kidding me? The way I hate that man, I hate him. And I know he apparently, like, I'm pretty sure Natalie, his fiance, just gave birth.
Oh, congratulations.
So, like, awesome. Congratulations. I fucking hate you, though, Nick. Like, I hate him.
Okay. Well, what I will say, though, he gets real, like, he gets really good opportunities. And I will say, having listened to my first episode, like, the Tom Sandoval, like, he was able to, like, we didn't get tons of information, but he was able to kind of push back. He was able to push back. And I think that's what you kind of need for these certain things. But it's like, he's one of like four podcasts that these people are allowed to go on where they're able to be themselves and reveal actual information. And so it is funny, though, that Vulture article was very, very loving towards Nick. It was very PR.
Can you do like a quick impression? Because I didn't listen to the podcast. Like, will you just do like one snippet of Nick Vial? Like, what did he say?
He'd be like, it was kind of like, what's that Ellen DeGeneres meme of what's her name? That's not true, Ellen. That's not the truth. Like, he was like, Tom, don't you understand? Tom, don't you understand that that's not how it is? That maybe she actually deserves to be bitter? That she deserves to be bitter, Tom? No, dude, it's just enough, dude. Yeah, but Tom, you don't understand. And then Schwartz would be like, I think what Tom's trying to say, like, he's so sorry behind closed doors. When we have private conversations together, you don't know. He's like the sorriest. But like, I think sometimes he doesn't know how to communicate. Yeah, I get that. But I think, well, the thing is, like, what a gift to Nick, though, because like, I was shocked that that got released. I was shocked Sandoval didn't beg for that to not be released. But like, he gave Nick such a gift. Like, that was like, I mean, I just can't believe any of it. It was so wild.
I love how Nick Vial always talks like he has like marbles in his mouth.
Well, I will say, for having been the first episode,
and I'm not trying to be like ableist or making fun of someone with like a speech impediment, because I don't think that's what it is.
I just think he
never like learned how to like,
I was really trying to look at it from a different, like, I was like, oh wow, he's so, because I listen to Stern a lot, and Stern has gotten so relaxed over the years. I feel like Nick is so relaxed, almost too relaxed for like maybe like get that relaxed in like five more years after you've really earned being that relaxed. But like me, yeah, I'm like, hey, but like I will rip on myself too. I'm always like, hey, what's going on?
He acts like he doesn't have to try. Like he acts like he's Howard Stern. Well,
but I will say sometimes around those goofball reality show people, I think he does kind of see the game and been like, oh, why the fuck am I even like it's his bread and butter, but he's able to actually approach it at that like kind of relaxed level and they buy into it. Like none of those people like Tom should have literally been like, who the fuck are you, dude? Like, are you fucking right. kidding me? Like, but it was I couldn't believe it. So go listen.
By the way, also like before you even say anything about me making fun of someone else's voice. And you're like, well, like, you're Valley Girl. Trust me, I thought of it first. I'm gonna own it. I said it before you can hurt me with it. I know.
No. And by the way, I do a big, like, I always get the radio announcer fucking thing voice. And I totally get that. So I don't know. I thought it was
what job you'd be really good at?
Uh-oh.
This is gonna hurt. We're like, we haven't even talked. I guess we did talk about Joe Burrow Stadium. We talked about him earlier.
Well, can I be an announcer?
Well, you would be good at the stadium voice. That's like, it's third down.
It's shot night for the ladies. Ladies, we're doing dollar Jaeger shots here.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, you've been to a football game, right?
Yes, I totally know. Anybody out there listening, I don't know how much longer I have like podcasting in me. So if you guys have any stadium opportunities,
that actually like VOs, is my dream job. Like nothing else with the stadium other than the person that's going, it's
by the way, this is, I would like, by the way, that's the dream. If anybody has like any kind of, and by the way, Jax, if you were a social media manager at that hockey team, we'd be willing to come announce for your team. That would be such a great thing. If the podcast could just get successful enough where we could go do some like play-by-play announcing for just one game or just like some like stadium announcements.
Hockey team.
Sandoval did this wild interview. But what I'm saying is that it kind of ruined the season for me because I'm like, oh, he doesn't change. There is no real accepting like responsibility for any of this. And we got this announcement that he was like, TMZ pushed this thing like, Tom's dating this like model that dated Leonardo DiCaprio at one point. But then he was like spotted at this other bar on Friday night and somebody slipped into at Blocked by Jax's DM. And it was like the mom of the, she's like, well, he might be dating her, but he also went home with my friend's daughter on Friday night. Like a mom busted Tom Sandoval out in Blocked by Jax's DMs.
So he's probably not actually dating that other girl. Is that like just for publicity? Maybe
it's just like an open relationship and he's dating multiple people.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know. Like if you were Tom, like what would you advise Tom Sandoval at this point if he hired you on as a PR person?
Just like, Tom, how about you just lay low for a little bit? Lay low.
I don't think he can. I don't think it's in his blood to lay low.
You know what's so funny to think about though, is that, you know, like, Sandoval now has reached, you know, this level of quote unquote fame that VPR, like that cast probably never thought they actually would reach because it kind of like exceeded the parameters of just Bravo celebrity. Yeah. Like it became like an actual, like it was on CNN and New York Times. Like the fact that he's now able to date like Victoria's Secret models or like Leonardo DiCaprio's ex-girlfriend because of Sandoval, like that's what it is. You know that Jax sitting at home, I'm just saying Jax is seething still.
That he's not single?
Yeah, that he didn't reach just from being like a cheating piece of shit. Like that being a cheating piece of shit is Jax's bread and butter.
Like, he's like I did it first. I did it first. I did it better.
Yeah.
The faith thing. Are you kidding me? Like that's legendary and you are stealing my bit. And like, you're right. I never even thought about it that way. I mean, so I'm excited that the show is back. But I am kind of like, okay, where do we go from here?
Like, right, that's how I feel. It's like not my most exciting like show on television, in my opinion, right now. Like it's not my, like I am seated, which I obviously am, but I'm actually seated, obviously, for the Traitors in a way that like maybe even exceeds how excited I was for Vanderpump last season.
One last thing about Vanderpump Rules before we get to the traitors is the funniest thing for this, and I'm looking forward to future episodes with her, is Anne, Tom Sandoval's assistant, who had to re-glue the wooden penis together.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like I said on Friday, I said, what a shitty part-time job. Like what, or like even a full-time job. Like, can you imagine her going home that night and telling family and friends that her boss had her glue together a wooden penis that meant something to him? You know, like, could you imagine, like, how would you feel about, like, because I imagine she has dreams and goals, and I don't imagine, like, I bet she convinced herself, like, no, this is normal. Assistants do this stuff all the time. And, like, I wonder ever if shame set in for her. Anne.
You know what? There are some assistant, like, personal assistant gigs that look amazing. Like, depending on who the celebrity is, you get to, like, travel all over the world. And, you know, some people, like that kind of job. You get compensated really well if you're working for the right celebrity. Being Sandoval's assistant would not be one of them that I would categorize as one that you would want.
It is. Well, and by the way, Anne, the assistant Anne has a podcast now. Everybody has a podcast. It came out last week. I forgot the name of it, but her and another personal assistant. And I have this theory because Tom Schwartz said on the Nick Vile podcast before he got there that Tom's assistant quit. You know, they recorded this a couple weeks ago, quit the week before. And so everybody assumed it was Anne. My theory is that Anne quits during this season, and that's why they've set her up as a character. And whoever the other assistant was also quit a couple of weeks ago. I think I think you're going to see a storyline where Anne, and by the way, I have no personal information of this. Nobody gave this to me. This is just from watching reality shows way too much. I bet you $100 that that's what happens.
I love that. I love that. Yes. Okay,
now let's get to something that we both love. The Traitors on Peacock. If you do not watch The Traitors, I really highly recommend it. We're only like 5 episodes in, I think. And this past week's episode on Thursday, I really went in thinking, oh, it's probably reached its pinnacle already. It was the best hour of television I had seen all week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What did you think, Sophie?
You know that meme that's like the viral like Twitter meme where it's that butch woman, she's an Eagles fan, and it says when your wife thinks she's the coach, and she's like, yeah, we're gonna go for two, yeah, that's me. That was me watching the Traitors this past week.
Well, it was from top to bottom. It was just this pilot Pete. He was on The Bachelor. This guy's more than just a pretty face. This guy set a trap for the Traitors. And this Dan, this Dan from Big Brother fell for it. And he had to fight for his life this episode. So you had pilot Pete painting this beautiful case. Parvati, one of the Traitors, is like on her heels, you know, from pilot Pete. He's really scared. And then at the end, Dan has to fight for his life and convince the faithfuls that he is a faithful and not a traitor. But the sad thing is, he puts all of the attention on Phaedra, one of the other traitors.
He should have done it on Parvati.
Phaedra eats him alive.
Yeah, he should have done it on Parvati. First of all, I feel like the Traitors is now turning into like the White Lotus of the reality world, where if your agent gets you on the Traitors, like home run.
Oh, Sophie, I said that. Dude, I said that on Friday. I said, if I was representing any of these guys on reality, I would be begging to get my client on the Traitors.
It's literally the White Lotus of reality TV.
So true.
First of all, that. Second of all, I had never watched Big Brother. I'm not a Big Brother person. So I wasn't familiar with Dan's funeral, which is like...
Oh, the way everybody talks about Dan. Like, I don't watch Big Brother either, but the way this man is talked about, like, he is a legend.
He is a Big Brother legend, greatest of all time. So I did an absolute deep dive of Dan's funeral on Big Brother because everyone was talking about it to understand like why does everyone keep saying that? Cause I feel like he's not playing the game very well, which he clearly wasn't.
We said he came out of retirement just for this.
Right, right. So I listened to a podcast about it, and I also, and I'll share the name of that podcast once I find it. I also read an EW Entertainment Weekly long read that was an oral history of Dan's funeral, which is like, if you Google Dan's funeral, Big Brother, it's like one of the first things that comes up.
Also, wait, when we say this, do Dan's funeral, Big Brother. If you just put Dan's funeral, it might lead you down some Dan's really funeral, sad territory.
Dan's funeral on Big Brother. I listened to a podcast about it. It's called The Cast with Ray and Jacquees from May 11, 2021. And they do a rundown of it too. So I like studied it.
Okay.
Like between episodes to kind of like figure out like, what is Dan's deal? And then after it just like, you know, really, really, really illuminated why. It's like Dan keeps saying, I've had my back against a wall before. Like
the Big Brother episode, right, was supposed to be his funeral, and he talked everybody out of it.
Basically, he's organized his own funeral because the way that Big Brother works, it's kind of like, if you don't have allies, you know you're going home. There's nothing you can do if you don't have these allies. And he had allies, but it was something with it. It sounds like a really freaking confusing show, you guys. Like, I could not follow how the show works. There's like head of household and a veto and all of these things.
HOH.
HOH. And he basically prepared his own funeral, had everyone fooled, really manipulated everyone by like really like buttering them up, and then turned everything, and then had another person go home that night. It's really interesting, you guys. They also, like, why on Big Brother do they put people, like, as, like, a punishment, they put people in solitary confinement, which is where Dan was when he, for 24 hours, he was in solitary confinement, where he came up with this idea because he was alone with his thoughts. So that. Also, one of the other punishments is making people eat slop for 3 weeks straight. Like, Big Brother just sounds
really scary. I do that voluntarily.
It sounds like really abusive. Like, I don't understand Big Brother.
One of the other ones is they waterboard Dan for 25 hours straight. Yeah. And you make him listen to bad Celine Dion music.
It like actually sounds really like intense. Scary. Yeah. Like, I don't know, you guys, like Big Brother is like this whole other world.
This Dan painted this picture at the reckoning on the traitors. And you're right. He should have thrown it at Parvati. But his argument to the people was like, nobody has ever written down Phaedra's name. And they had written down Parvati. So I think for his argument, he had to do Phaedra. But the thing, though, once Dan was voted out, he did a parting shot to Phaedra, though, and says, this is why you're such an elegant lawyer. Like, made sure the lawyer thing got out into everybody's ears. Because at this point, yes, it really does. Like, at this point, you know, and Pilot Pete is, like, onto him. He knows Parvati.
That's why they recruited him.
That's the frustrating thing, you guys. At the end, the traitors meet, and they get an opportunity to invite one person of the faithfuls to become a traitor. And Phaedra is like, you know, or Parvati's like, we got to do Dan. And Phaedra was like, I don't know about that. I don't know. And Parvati's like, he's going to vote me off next if we don't. Do you think Pilot Pete accepts being a traitor?
I think he does. But I think it's to be determined whether he actually like becomes loyal to the traitors or instead gets confirmation that they're traitors. And then, you know, goes back to his allies, Burgalicious and company.
Oh, not my sweet Burgalicious.
Not my Burgalicious.
Yeah.
And, you know, turns on the traitors, and then the game is his if he gets Parvati and Phaedra out of there.
But I feel like if it's his choice, right? But also I feel like if the choice is his, he knows he's like already onto it. Like, well, I guess, okay. So I guess the deal is if he doesn't join the traitors, they could actually kill him that night. So he has to join the traitors.
I think he will join the traitors, but I think if he chose not to,
they would have killed him otherwise.
Well, right. I think he's going to join them, but not necessarily be like loyal to them. Like, I think his allies will still be his allies.
I want to see that. Sense. See, that's like the rules. Like, the rules are a little murky. And the fact that they brought Kate, I love Kate Chastain, but the fact that they brought her in mid season kind of weirds me out. It feels a little unfair to the rest of the people there.
That's actually like a good point. Like, I love her and I'm happy. Like,
can you just
there.
Keep making up new rules? Like, that's.
Yeah. I mean, basically, you know, who I love is John.
Oh, the British part, the British government guy. Like,
he's like, treachery deserves banishment, and banishment, my friend, should be your fate tonight. He's the silent slutter.
I want him to date Sutton from Beverly Hills.
Oh my God.
They would be like, oh, I love your little accent. I say, I love it.
Would you like
Santos with me? Yeah, I love the Traitors. I wish I could like, and the other thing is Sheree, She by Sheree is on the show too. And she's like, they just do like these like little cutaway shots of Sheree. Like Sheree potentially could win and she really hasn't done much of anything, which I think is brilliant.
I love all the memes that's like, Sheree has no idea what's going on, but she's going to somehow like end up winning.
Yeah, she's going to. Well, and also speaking of Real Housewives of Atlanta, we got news about an hour ago that legend Candy Burris from Real Housewives of Atlanta has said she is not coming back for this next season of the Real Housewives of Atlanta. She has said she is taking the season off. So she has done 14 seasons of Real Housewives of Atlanta. She is so in the DNA of that show, but I think it is the right move for her. She said they waited too long. She has other things in the works. They are doing a second season of Candy and the Gang. She's producing Broadway. And I think, listen, after talking about the Traitors, it also leaves room for them to potentially bring back Phaedra to Real Housewives of Atlanta right. after she's killing it on the Traitors, because Phaedra is the reason why, like Candy Burris being there, they would have to like really deal with the issue of what Phaedra said about Candy for her to come back
right.
with Candy there. But now without Candy gone, I could see like Phaedra's so good on television.
She is. Also, like, showman's watch between
her and CT?
And CT, her castle daddy.
Dude, do you really think that's real? Do you think CT would hit Phaedra?
Like,
could you imagine that?
Not no.
I love that.
I would love that for them.
That's like honestly. the bodyguard vibes. Like, it just feels like very.
I know
like,
when they were crossing the river and she was like, I'm scared. And she was like holding on.
Take my hand, Phaedra, please.
Oh my God.
I mean, I'm here. Like, I will say for some reason, we've seen shows like this that mash up reality show characters before, but for some reason, this just works so well.
It really is just like the cast works so well. Also like Pilot Pete, never thought he was attractive before.
Didn't know he had a brain in there at all. Such a huge brain.
He's doing something for me.
Do you remember his? I actually well, watched his season
stinks.
Of The Bachelor.
I'm sorry.
And he hooked up with, he had sex with Hannah in a windmill.
Yeah, in a windmill. Yeah.
And you remember, like, do you remember they had his mom's reaction shots? Pilot
Pete's Barb.
Mom. She's like mad. And I was like, oh my God, we need Barb on the Traitors.
Actually, wait, speaking of The Bachelor, you guys, I haven't watched The Bachelor or Bachelor in Paradise or The Bachelorette or anything in a few seasons because I haven't liked the lead. And
please
then
wait, please say you say all this and go, but I have decided that I love this season of The Bachelor. Is that what you're about to say?
Well, let me just hear me out.
Yeah.
So like think of the past few bachelors that we've had. It's mm-hmm. been Zach, if you remember Zach, like
yeah.
Clayton. Who was even before Clayton? Like, I don't even know, Colton. Like there
just
have been
names, yeah.
undesirable leads. And finally, Joey, who's the current lead. And I didn't even watch Charity season of The Bachelorette because, again, I kind of like gave up because I just didn't. I was like, I don't know who Charity is. Now I don't know who any of these cast members are on Bachelor in Paradise. So I'm not going to watch that. But I saw that Joey, I was like, he's kind of hot. He's pretty fine.
I was about to say, I will say, also, I want to point out to the audience, Joey kind of looks like your fiance, by the way.
Oh
not
my
like not
God.
The hair, but like I there is a combination.
Wait,
of
oh my God.
Oh, you're just realizing this? You're
no,
just
I
this?
Did not. I don't even know yet if I agree, but thank
okay.
you for like the compliment. But Joey, so I guess the ratings of The Bachelor this season are higher than they've been in years. And for the only like the 10th time in history, they've seen an increase in ratings after the premiere instead of a fall off. So, like, he's actually bringing in the ratings, and that's what happens when you have an actual, like, hot lead who people are genuinely, like, fighting over instead of just, like, these, like, losers like Zach and Clayton.
Well, can I also say that also I think they're coming off such a hit season from The Golden Bachelor
true,
that more
that's
people
true.
Are interested in the Bachelor franchise, but also I want them to get more creative. Like, we had The Old Bachelor. Why don't we do, like, The Ugly Bachelor? Like, just say
they
he's ugly in the title. Like, The Ugly Bachelor.
No, but they do need to include like more plus size contestants because they really
the bachelor that's not happy with his waist size.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like they literally have the biggest bachelor. Remember The Biggest Loser? Like, is that still a thing?
Oh, I love The Biggest Loser, but a lot of people, yeah, that was very unhealthy. That was very
problematic. Unhealthy. Also, yeah, problematic. But they have, you know, they've gotten the program when it comes to like diversity of, you know, ethnicity and races and just like so many different diverse backgrounds of contestants, but it's still the same body type, which I think is kind of like crazy. So that's, I would love to see more diversity when it comes, yeah, to like body type.
Well, I think the audience is there for it too. I think like, totally, even like, we saw that the audience was there for bachelor and bachelorettes of like any age, like older age, like, right, people. We wanted, like, I think because we're all those types of people. Like, listen, I want to see all types of people represented. But most importantly, I just want to see good storylines. I want to see good characters. I want to, like, and the old bachelor and bachelorette, you know, it's just like, I don't want to see more people that are not going to get married and they're just going to try to be influencers for the rest of their life.
Right. Exactly. Which is why I think having like an actual like desirable, and he seems like so emotionally intelligent, so mature, like he actually listens, like there are no red flags so far. So I feel like he's actually like husband.
I love that Sophie's talking about this like she's actually had conversations with. He listens, you guys.
He listens when I talk. No, but like I actually feel like he's husband material, and that's why, like, even though some of these girls may have went on for, I would be so fucking pissed if I was like a contestant last season on Zach's season. Like, I was like, what the fuck? And now you have this guy. And not only is he like actual husband material, now the ratings are better than ever. So all of these people are actually getting followers in a way that the past few seasons, the contestants haven't really had,
yeah,
become successful influencers because the ratings have been lower. I don't know, you guys. Like,
no, listen, you sold me. I'm going to check it out. Moving on to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills last week, did you happen to check it out? It was the Merce in the Purse.
Merce in the Purse.
No, but like, what did I even miss? I keep watching the episode. It was
one of the better episodes of this season.
Oh,
it
okay.
actually almost made me believe in the concept of female friendship amongst these ladies, but it also had wackiness of Erica Jayne did get wasted. It was funny. She kept, like, she was making fun of Sutton had her old dance instructor's Merce, his remains with her, and they're going to like spread it to sea. And she was like, you got Merce in a purse. Crystal Kung Minkoff almost died from blood pressure. Anna Marie Wiley. Like, it was like all of these interesting things kind of came together. And there was some really emotional moments that I actually bought into in talking about the death of Sutton's dad and Kyle, the death of her friend. And I saw Kyle do interviews this week that kind of ruined all of that because Kyle was then making fun of Sutton again on some interview. And I was like, I don't understand why people have to keep this shit going. Doesn't people just want to get along at any point? Like, why does it always have to be contentious? Also, Kyle Richards is still friends with Morgan Wade, you guys. She makes that very clear.
I was going to say, didn't they like unfollow each other or something? No, or like deleted all like the photos
Morgan Wade did that like artist thing where they like just like delete everything and put like two posts about their music. And Kyle actually was at her concert, filming from her concert this past weekend. So everything is good. I mean, we still don't know what the F is going on, but Kyle and Morgan Wade are still whatever that relationship is.
Thank God.
Thank God, you guys. Thank God.
I wasn't sleeping.
I knew you. That's why you got sick on Saturday. It wasn't all the party. It was like, yeah, literally the worry. Okay, so
I'm going to catch up on, I mean, I'm only one episode behind. But
yeah, it's only one episode.
Are you caught up on Potomac?
You know, I got to tell you, I gave up on Potomac a little bit. Like
a lot of
but I haven't given up on Married to Medicine. I find Married to Medicine actually so much more enjoyable than Potomac. And by the way, I am going to end up watching Potomac, but I'm just going to watch six episodes back to back one day.
When you're like super bored. You know what? I like needed like a mindless show yesterday when I was hungover, and I don't know where my fiance was. Like, I don't know what he was doing, but
he
was like
sleeping
alone
off the second order or whatever you guys ordered.
Yeah. He actually like left the apartment at some point yesterday, unlike me, but I put on, cause I never watched Road, Real Housewives of Dallas. I never watched it.
Oh, it's good.
I put it on from the beginning. I'm still in season one, but like, I'll keep you guys posted.
I'm really excited to hear that. Actually, it's a really good, especially when you get into the Leanne Lawson stuff.
It wasn't on Peacock. Like it wasn't on something at one point when I tried to watch it like last year or something. And now it's like on Peacock. So I'm like, now's the time.
Now is the time.
But tonight, Potomac also, like, I know that you gave up on Potomac, but it's like, I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't know. I mean, no, it's terrible this season, but like, what's going to happen with that cast? Like, they're at like an impasse. It's just not going to work. So,
well, if Candy isn't, I mean, there's so many, Candace has to be, people have to be willing to actually get along. And I think sometimes we just actually need a couple of years of breath and maybe some, I don't know. I can't imagine what it's like to be a producer on those shows, actually trying to fix something that's based in pseudo reality.
Right. Exactly.
Did you read that Caroline Manzo lawsuit at all? Any of the stuff?
No, I didn't read it, but I like saw that was happening.
I really don't think we'll ever see that. But also I like this Brandi Glanz. I worry about all the housewives out there. Like, stop depending on these shows for the rest of your life to earn your living. Like, it's a good supplementary income.
Are you saying that like in regards to Brandi?
I just see it seems like this is tearing her apart and like whatever. And she admits this, she did something that like a botched face surgery. And it just doesn't ever seem like she, every time like she'll tweet something out of like, I need my livelihood, and it's all misspelled. And like, you know, she's repeating words and sentences. And I mean, there's no joke here. I just genuinely worry about her because it seems like she's like, you're attacking my livelihood. And the thing that I keep like, none of this should be any of these people's livelihood. It should be something nice and then build something off of it. Like, treat it like the NFL. I mean, even that's like messed up in a sense, but like get a car dealership or something.
Right, right. Yeah. Like, it's never going to last forever. And also, like, it's Real Housewives. And I know that that was Brandi's whole shtick, was that she was like the relatable housewife who didn't have like Lisa Vanderpump money, but it's like.
But now, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch SNL last night with Ayo Edebiri and Jennifer Lopez?
I watched her monologue, which I thought was really cute, really fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't like laugh out loud, but it was funny.
Yeah. It was good because I felt like she meant it. Like, I felt like
she was very earnest and cute and sweet. She was, you know, talking about how it was such a full circle moment for her because she's been doing sketch comedy
for a long time.
Yeah, she was doing like improv and whatever. But like Nikki Haley, like what was that all about?
Okay, so you guys, Nikki Haley, one of the Republican, you know, candidates for, you know, the Republican Party against Donald Trump, she showed up at the end of the opening sketch. Yeah, for the presidency, for that little thing called the presidency. She showed up at the very end of the sketch, and Ayo Edebiri asked a question, and it was about Donald Trump. But then she also got in because Nikki Haley at one point wouldn't admit that the Civil War was about slavery. So they were able to get that joke in there. But at the same time, I guess the question is, whether it be Republican or Democrat, should Saturday Night Live or anything be platforming any kind of candidate on these shows? And the think pieces the next day or today were talking about, you know, is this SNL trying to play nice, trying to widen their base? And will we eventually be seeing Trump come to SNL again? Because remember, we initially ran the first time, he hosted the show.
It was a very strange choice.
It's weird.
And it really, like, I would be pissed if I were Ayo, because I feel like it really overshadowed, like,
well, how she felt about it.
Yeah, like how did she feel about it? Like, did she get a say at all? Because it's surprising that she, you know, would be like, yeah, cool, sounds good. Like, I feel like she'd be, I know that she is, you know, extremely, just from some of her old social media posts and, you know, her, just what she said in the past, she's extremely progressive and like left leaning. So like, I'm sure she wasn't thrilled about it.
I'm wondering what conversations are like that, because she was the one in that scene. I, you know, she could have asked to have one of the other cast members do it. So I was wondering,
what
did she think she was like holding Nikki Haley's feet to the fire by the slavery line? So I was curious about that.
That's true. That's a good point. But yeah, I feel like just the fact that Nikki Haley was on was completely overshadowed, at least on like Twitter, from what I saw. Like, it just like overshadowed everything. And
the reason I was even bringing it up in the first place is because of Jennifer Lopez. Now, Jennifer Lopez was the musical guest, and Ayo, and this is just goes to show that we'll never potentially be able to work with any kind of celebrity ever.
No,
Sophie,
no.
Is, AO did a podcast, a really good podcast called Scam Goddess. And yeah. She did an old episode and Jennifer Lopez got brought up and AO had said, Jennifer Lopez's whole career has been a scam. She can't sing. She can't do that. I mean, it went off and it was very funny.
And it was all true, by the way. It was all true.
You know, in the ether. Well, yeah. I mean, but it was also done in good humor and you could tell that that upset Jennifer Lopez very much. AO Adebri, even in one of the first sketches in a character said, because they actually did a funny sketch about Instagram of people leaving comments on Instagram and the game was, why'd you say that? And the host would be like, oh, you would knock this girl's boot. Why'd you say that? It was actually pretty funny and speaks to a lot of the comments I even see on my own posts or like people just fucking put out hate for the love of it. Comment the weirdest shit. But anyways, she said in that sketch, she was like, I was young and I didn't realize. And, you know, she kind of apologized to Jennifer Lopez in that sketch. But at the very end, the good nights, when they're all on stage, Jennifer Lopez wouldn't hug AO Adebri. Like she like turned to her AO and like didn't get the hug. Like Jennifer Lopez was still smiling and stuff like that, but didn't get the hug. And AO was like, okay. And then had to turn around. And I just thought, guys, just think about this. No matter how far you go in your careers, remember, there's always going to be those moments where it isn't like when everything's going your way, remember that something's always not going to be going your way and take it all in stride, because I imagine that's a really high moment in her career. And then that was potentially like just not ruined, but just taken down a notch of the enjoyment by imagine having Jennifer Lopez mad at you on the same, like imagine.
And also like of all celebrities, like that have an ego, like Jennifer Lopez,
don't fuck around.
She's not gonna let it go.
I was just thinking, I was like, I wonder if Ben Affleck pulled AO aside and been like, it was actually pretty funny. I love her. I love her. She's a and by the way, Jennifer Lopez is a legend. I was watching her performance, by the way, she did lip sync, so it is funny in a sense, but she was giving one of the performances of her lifetime. She had a hair extension. She had a pull out because it was like bad. She threw it back, didn't miss a beat. Like she is
She's
legendary.
A performer.
She is a performer.
Did you see that trailer for her new like visual?
This is Jennifer Lopez. Yeah. Yes. It looks like, insane.
What is it? Why is it steampunk? Like it's steampunk.
There's so many different genres in the guys. Go watch the trailer for
it's this so is scary. Jennifer Lopez. It's like so scary.
From the mind and soul of Jennifer Lopez.
Wait, from the twisted mind.
From the twisted mind of J-Lo. It looks insane.
Wait, I feel like Brian, I feel like we need to take some sort of hallucinogen and watch that.
By the way, wouldn't that be the best podcast ever if I just jump out of the window halfway through? I'd be like, I can't handle it. There's been a mass casualty event after the J-Lo premiere. But by the way, that's the kind of Sophie, that's you're thinking right into like that's the kind of thing we need to be doing for this show. We need to get messed up and watch the J-Lo doc.
Wait, yeah, like people who are like super into drugs, will you let us know like what hallucinogen would be the funniest?
What would be the five?
Like what what are our options when it comes to hallucinogen?
What would be the perfect, that would be a great service of like, hey, I'm going to watch this movie tonight. What should I take? Oh, you're going to want to have a little bit of a sativa, maybe like a Captain Morgan's on the rock. Like it would be great if somebody
that's actually so funny. Like my friend, I live in New York. Like obviously, you know, there are people dabbling. My friend uses, and I'm not saying me, I actually do mean my friend. I wouldn't know who to call if I were like, I need drugs. My friend has the service and they give you like a card stock that has like the information about the drug. It's like, I have it somewhere because I think it's like the funniest thing in the world, but just, you know.
Your friend like, Schmofi Schmoss.
Yeah. No, I kept it. She gave it to me because I thought it was so funny. But anyway, I think it's very informative and helpful. It has information you could need.
So anyways, SNL, that happened. I thought that was actually interesting. Also, in terms of Salt Lake City news, Monica Garcia, she did my friend Bethany Garcia's live podcast. Bethany Garcia has been on this show a bunch. She's amazing. Go check out the Garcia Diaries. But they did their first live event, and Monica Garcia was their guest in Arizona. And she spilled some tea that she said, Monica said, Whitney came and sat by her at BravoCon and was very nice to her. And Heather got mad, gave her the finger across the room, and did the I'ma slit your throat gesture. Like, Heather did the I'ma slit your throat gesture.
Can you imagine, like, Heather Gay doing that?
In anger. Yeah, 100%.
Honestly, yeah. As soon as I saw that, I was like, yeah.
What are you talking about? Are you, like, receipts, proof, I'm going to slit your throat.
Yeah.
I thought that actually, was so yeah. funny.
Yeah. What podcast was this?
This was the Garcia Diaries. Bethany Garcia, she's been on a couple. She's awesome. She lives in Arizona. The podcast is her and her husband, and it's great. And she's one of my favorite, like, I always joke about influencers, but she's one of my favorite influencers because she's got a bunch of kids. Like, you really see her real struggles. And I think she loves Bravo. And so I recommend her, really. But she's been friends with Monica even before this season. So Monica was her guest. And, like, I thought that was just such good information.
That's hilarious. Wait, I feel like you need to bring up the fact that Freddie Mellencamp has a new podcast.
She has like 8 podcasts now.
Yeah, like what is going on?
She has a new podcast called Shoveling Shit and with Freddie. No, it's called Popping Off with Freddie and Emily Simpson. What is going on? No, it's very simple. Is that the Twats Pod, the 2 T's, is very, very successful. And what iHeart did was say, we love working with you ladies. This is very successful. It's beneficial, a mutual relationship. And they gave them, like, go make new podcasts. So Tamara's doing a Traders podcast. They're doing The Eds, which is Freddie and Tamara's husbands.
Oh, my
and
God.
And they're doing Popping Off with Emily and Freddie. I do think... I don't know. You know, like, there's room for everybody. I just think that's a lot of, and I like Emily. I don't know. Just put Freddie on a, put Freddie back on a show already. I relent. Just do it. I don't, just make it all still. Just put it, do it already.
What? Can we, like, what? Can she go away?
No, but like, that's the deal. But I will say, if people like that are going to push, like, and do these podcasts, help Brandy. Like lend a helping hand. There needs to be, like...
You know who I do want to listen to on a podcast? Maybe not every day, but, like, every quarter is Brandy.
Well,
I blame all of you listening to this who also listen to the Twats podcast. I blame you. I am proud to say I've never listened to the Twats podcast.
I've seen clips on TikTok. I've not said, but I will say the only, and I said this on the Patreon this weekend. I said, the only thing that bothers me sometimes is that I know, like, what they'll do is, like, you know, they have such good insight because they've been on the show. But what they'll do though, is they'll, like, just surf online and take a lot of people's thoughts and, like, opinions, and they'll pass them off as their own, you know, like they'll, like, that I see happen a lot in the clips. I'm like, wait a sec. I saw my buddy say that, or I saw that, you know, I noticed that a lot.
Whoa. You're telling me that Tamara Judge and Freddie Mellencamp aren't the insightful comedians that I thought they were?
Well, listen, they're aggregators. They're like the Huffington Post. They aggregate.
They bring a lot of nuance.
They bring a lot of nuance
to the reality television category.
Okay. As we start winding down here, I do want to talk about one of our favorite influencers. She had this post today, and I want to see if you think that I'm potentially right. Gypsy Rose Blanchard, she wrote today, to all my supporters, thank you for remaining to follow my life journey. Y'all kind words are very uplifting. I never said I was perfect. I'm 100% human. I make mistakes, but I learn from them. I gain achievements. Celebrate them with me. I invite y'all into my world, not as a public figure, but as just Gypsy. And she capitalized just Gypsy. So, Sophie, my theory is... Wait, what?
Wait, does that mean that her and her fiance broke up?
Wait, what are you talking about? Where are you looking?
No, but when you said just Gypsy.
No. I like it's like, oh, I'm just Ryan. Like, it's like, I'm just Gypsy. Like, it's just me, Gypsy. What my theory is, Sophie, is that she's saying this. I bet her reality series is going to be called Just Gypsy. So no, she, I don't think she's breakup season yet, but then she continues, me being myself, doing whatever makes me happy as I begin my new life. There will be good times. There will be bad times, but that is what I have waited 32 years for, to live my life in freedom. And whoever is left standing by my side is my true supporters. Hashtag Team Gypsy, hashtag Gypsy Rose Blanchard. This has like over 1,200,000 likes pretty much. But I do think they are actively filming a reality show called Just Gypsy.
Honestly, preach. On like TLC, like what channel do you think?
No, I think it's Lifetime, because Lifetime did that 5-part docuseries.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
But I think, do you think the reason she capitalized that, because it will be called Just Gypsy? And do you like that as a reality show name? Just Gypsy.
Honestly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is funny. Yeah. But it kind of sounds, this is my only, to be nitpicky, it kind of sounds like an MTV reality show of like Ashley Simpson's like piece, like, you know, just Gypsy.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Okay.
I watched episode one the Ashley Simpson show the other day on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
Pieces of me.
Oh, the pieces. On a Monday. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, good.
I will watch it on YouTube. Because someone mentioned somewhere that in the first episode, when Ashley and her mom are cleaning up her new apartment, that they're cutting up coke. Speaking of drugs, they are. I swear to God. Go watch. I will find it later, the exact timestamp, so that you can see what I'm talking about. Okay. Just watch.
Okay, you know what? Actually, I'm not joking. Really do find the timestamp, because we'll pull it and we'll make a post tomorrow with that in there, because I think that's fascinating information. Uh-huh. But Just Gypsy reminds me of a title that you would put like on a early aughts MTV show, and not about somebody that, I love Gypsy Rose, but she did participate in murdering her mom. So I just think Just Gypsy might be a little I'm fully in support of Gypsy. Like, I love Gypsy Rose. Just think we can't call it Just Gypsy.
Do you remember that show on MTV, like during the Ashley Simpson era, that was like, what was her name? Cheyenne or something? Like, what happened to her?
Wait, there was an MTV reality show called Just Cheyenne?
Cheyenne MTV reality show. Cheyenne Kimball. Cheyenne. It was just called Cheyenne. Kimball.
They didn't even try at a certain point.
Yeah, it was just Cheyenne. What the hell happened to her? I want a list of like all of those early aughts reality shows that focused on like those like obscure like teenagers. Like, what was that one guy? I thought he was Ryan. What was his name?
Oh, the life of the skateboarder.
Yeah, he was a skater. Yeah. Life of Ryan.
Yeah, I totally remember. God, there were so many. Like, I that's why
Brian
I
cracked Scheckler. Yes. Oh my God, Brian Scheckler. Oh my God. Okay, this is 2007. So I was like early teenager years, not to age myself.
10 years, 5 years ago.
I thought he was so sexy.
Of course.
Isn't it funny? Like, when you're
just honestly, at what age did you start thinking of people as sexy? Like, I just can't imagine. Like, what age do we start thinking of people as quote unquote sexy? Like,
honestly, like I was probably like 12 when I was like sexy. Like, also, wait, do you remember the guy that was in all of the DCOMs, Disney Channel original movies? He was in like Life of the Irish or Luck of the Irish. I mean, Smart House, like that actor. I thought he was like the sexiest person alive.
I mean, it sounds like you had a lot of crushes when you were younger.
And also, like, it's just so funny now to like look at pictures of him in those movies. He was literally 12. And I was like, oh my God, he's so sexy.
Like that. Did you ever think you were going to marry a celebrity?
I thought I was going to marry that actor. Like
that actor.
Yes. What was his, I'm going to find it, because now I feel bad that I'm not saying it. Smart House, maybe. What was his name? Oh, Ryan Merriman.
He was in Smart House? I remember Smart House.
Yes.
That's a very technical.
Ben Cooper. Like, of course, like the main character is named Ben Cooper.
Okay, the Grammys are tonight, folks, and you know, Taylor Swift finally arrived. She is wearing all white. They're saying it's wedding dress white. People need to chill out, but they are saying that she is going to announce the Reputation Taylor Swift version. She took her profile picture and made it black and white, so it is imminent, you guys, that she's going to announce this, because yes, next Sunday is the Super Bowl. And the Kansas City Chiefs will be there. And I mean, we've heard all so many rumors that Travis Kelce is going to propose on the field.
He's not.
Of course he's not. But I'm saying the rumors are like out of control.
The rumors.
And all we got to worry about is the sweet sounds of R&B Usher. We do not need to be thinking about Taylor Swift at this game. She's going to be there. It's going to be fine. Everybody's going to chill out. But she's at the Grammys tonight. We'll do more Grammy stuff on Tuesday. Finally, I do want to talk to you. The last thing is, did you see these Apple Vision Pro goggles that went on sale on Friday for $3,500?
We saw someone wearing them today when we were out in Soho today.
Did you push them?
I wanted to. Like
I mean, it's wild.
It's so depressing. And I also like watch, I'm not by my own volition. I was forced by if you have like a nerdy like boyfriend, husband who's just like nerdy and like, what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, he made me sit down and watch this YouTube video for like 30 minutes. And it was like what you see when you're wearing them. So what you see is just like, you see, like if I were wearing them right now, I could see you. Like I could see what's in front of me.
You can also see a TV. You can see a 60-inch TV. You have all these screens, you guys. It's like Minority Report, that Tom Cruise movie. You can do gestures. I will say, there is something like soul sucking about it, but it is kind of, like, we're already there. Why not go a step further? It does seem like I kept thinking about watching Housewives and transcribing notes. Like, it would make it so much easier. I was just thinking of like all the way you could use this thing. But it is really – I watched the same demonstrations your boyfriend, your fiancé watched. I was kind of like, oh, shit. Like, I can't afford it. But I'm like, oh, shit. It is kind of cool. It just looks completely idiotic. No, it's not.
Like, he was like, okay, but, like, imagine, like, the only time I would wear them is, like, if I'm, like, working. And then instead of sitting in front of four screens, I could just, like, have them.
Yeah.
And, like, you also could just, like, physically, like, have, like, you know, just, like, multiple windows open on your, like, desktop computer.
He already does. It would be better for – I'm with your guy 100%. And the other thing I want to tell people, and this is not to be a bummer, but you can actually take video that you filmed. You can put it into this Vision Pro, and it's like you're reliving those moments. You're putting yourself spatially in those moments again.
It's that episode of Black Mirror. Wait.
It is. And you can actually –
I'm scared. Like, I remember
it is scary. It is. By the way, we're done. It is over for humanity, but it is like, fun. It is.
I remember exactly where I was when, like, the iPad was announced. And I was like, this is dumb. It's like, you have a computer and you have a phone. Why do you need, like, the in-between one? I was like, this is never going to take off. Obviously, I'm wrong. AirPods. I was like, they're just going to fall out of your ears. These are never going to take off. Obviously, they took off.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm like, these are never going to take off. Next week, every single person. That's so sad.
But see, the reason why this potentially is not going to take off, the price tag is so in. It's $3,500 for like a basic model. That's like going to prevent a lot of people. And then I was watching people on the subway wear these things. Like, Sophie, like, is it safe to wear these things on like any? Like, wouldn't you just like grab this guy's air, like just rip him off his head?
I probably like would try to, yeah.
If you're wearing a $3,500 device, it's like that, like you're, it's that visible. Like, I would just be scared that somebody was just going to like grab it.
Right. That's actually a good point.
Yeah. Just wear it at home. Wear it at home. Sophie, any recommendations for this week? Anything that you're watching? We know
watched. What did I feel? You know what? We watched Anastasia last night. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't think
Anastasia, the animated movie from like 1997 on Disney. Guys, it holds up. Let me just say that.
Your fiance watched Anastasia.
He had never seen it before and he loved it, by the way. So like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just kind of like healing my inner child right now and trying to go through all of the Disney movies on Disney Plus for my childhood.
I
Highly recommend. Highly recommend.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, before before little Sophie is running around, you got to heal that childhood for yourself get to a place. I also want to recommend to people, if you are into pop culture, there's a documentary that just hit Netflix this week called The Greatest Night in Pop. It's only an hour and 36 minutes, but it's about the making of the song We Are the World from the 80s. Now, a lot of you people are like, oh my God, that's so old. I don't even know what that is about. It's hysterical, though, because it's a time capsule of a lot of the biggest musicians in the world. At that time, Lionel Richie, Michael Jackson, Prince, Madonna, Cyndi Lauper, Huey Lewis, Paul Simon, Bob Dylan, Stevie Wonder, they all came together to make this song for all the proceeds going to Africa, but it was about them recording it. And they have footage of all of these people after the American Music Awards going to record this all night long because they were only going to be in town that night. And it's all these superstars, like Bruce Springsteen is there. He's one of the talking heads in it too. And you know, there are just pieces of it that I thought were like Bob Dylan couldn't sing on key and Stevie Wonder had to Bob Dylan, you could say, was like getting all insecure. And Stevie Wonder had to do a Bob Dylan impression to Bob Dylan to show him how to sing his little part in the song. And all of these superstars are getting nervous around each other because they're like, oh my God, it's my turn to sing. And they're all trying to out-sing each other. And I don't know, there was a part of it. Like, it's not the best documentary you'll ever see, but there are little pieces of it that I thought were really magical. And especially if you were a kid in the 80s, or if you just love pop culture, I do recommend that. I think it gives you a really certain place and time before music has turned into what it is now as streaming. It was wild. It's like a pre-internet documentary. It's
Wait,
really
what
interesting.
Is it called? The Greatest Night in Pop. I feel like that title made me think that it should be about making of DJ Earworm's United States of Pop in 2009.
Oh my God. I know exactly what I used to play some of that on the show. Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I was obsessed with that.
Oh shit. Now fuck.
I got a feeling. Leave it on the top.
We went too long, but what did you think about Justin Timberlake and the Britney Spears thing and how how Britney took back the apology? What did you think about, like, because Justin was like, I don't need to apologize to nobody, and then did the song, and then Britney was like,
he was like, I want to take a second to apologize to absolutely nobody for nothing, or whatever he said.
Yeah.
And also I read was it on The Atlantic? I can't remember where I read it. Let me find it. It was called The Desperation of Justin Timberlake. And it was after he was on SNL with Dakota Johnson, and how he really had this air of desperation about him, that he is like just not relevant. The tides have turned PR wise or public image wise for him. And I just think it's really interesting. I'll also link that on my Instagram story.
I keep saying, pay attention to this comeback, because it is interesting for any pop star, but for Justin Timberlake, especially, because so much of the bad mouthing of Justin Timberlake is spread online, but he doesn't do himself any favors when he does shit like that. Like, dude, exactly. Stop it. Like, just don't say shit like that. It makes him come off suspect. Like, why are you this cocky? When it's like, you should just be, thank you, Britney, for saying you enjoy my music. I loved your book. I support you always, period. Why? Right. Because Britney then came back on Instagram and was like, the streets, I heard from the streets have been talking, and I don't apologize. First off, Britney's hearing things from the streets? Like, who's, like, why are the streets? The streets of the gated communities.
Did you ever watch that movie Reptile on Netflix?
Oh, no, you recommended the Justin Timberlake, Benicio del Toro.
Great movie, by the way. But Justin Timberlake was like the weakest part. He can't act. He's his whole career.
I said, so sue me. I like his music, but I don't like this shit.
I'll never forget my old coworker, who I love and still talk to this day. I was texting her about it the other day. She bought tickets to the Man of the Woods tour before the album came out.
And then the album wasn't.
And then when the album came out, she was like, fuck.
I got one ticket to Man of the Woods if anybody's looking for it. No, but he's got a world tour to start selling tickets for. And I just wonder, with these big celebrities, does anybody in there, does he have somebody in his camp that actually tells him the truth of what is certain, what is going? Because he does have a huge fan base, but don't expand the fan base, play ball a little bit. You're not at a point where you can pull that shit. And you're also sorry, dude, you don't want to be Kanye. You don't want to be this. Just fucking make peace already.
Right. Either like be Kanye and like court controversy and be someone that people like love to hate and like get
wear the Jason mask. Wear the fucking
commit to the bit at least. Wait, what do you think? Is the tour going to be like Man of the Woods tour part two? Like, do we know the name of it yet?
I think it's called Everything. The name is already, because he announced it on Jimmy Fallon, your friend. His tour is called...
Wait, should we take hallucinogens and go to the Man of the Woods part two?
Everything now we suggest is just taking hallucinogens. It's it's called Justin Timberlake, the Forget Tomorrow World Tour, which sounds like... Yeah, man, you might want to forget tomorrow if you don't start like apologizing. Bitch. Forget tomorrow, like, world tour, and he's thumbs upping.
Like, shut up, bitch.
Well, that's what I said. I compared him to Tom Sandoval. Like, it's like Tom Sandoval. It's like, why double down on this shit, Tom? Like, just shut up and apologize. Like, if you're going to bitch to Schwartz behind closed doors, Justin Timberlake is coming off like Tom Sandoval when he's petty like that. Like, there's no need. There's no need. And then he grabbed Jessica Biel, his wife's ass, on stage. He was like, look at this.
Also, like, remember that cheating scandal? Like, I still remember
When they're holding hands in the...
Yeah, with like some co-star. What movie was that, by the way? Wasn't he filming some movie?
It was in New Orleans, I think.
Yeah, like, did that movie ever come out? Like, what even was it?
I have zero clue. I have zero clue if that movie came out.
I'll keep you guys posted.
Sophie, if you had a Vision Pro goggles, you would be able to do all of this in your Vision Pro goggles instead of like keep typing. You would actually be able to do it.
You're right. Wait, it was called Palmer. You guys, it was called Palmer, this movie. It came out in 2021. So that was the movie on the set of which Justin Timberlake cheated on Jessica Biel with his co-star. So that movie came out 3 years ago.
In fact, they should. That's how they should promote movies like that, of like the film that Justin Timberlake cheated on his wife during filming. Like,
I have the Wikipedia up. Eddie Palmer, and he plays Palmer, by the way. Eddie Palmer is a former high school football star and ex-felon who has been released from prison after serving 12 years for attempted murder and armed robbery. That's just the first sentence of like the whole like.
And he plays Palmer, somebody that killed somebody?
Yeah. So
I can guarantee, guys, I can guarantee everybody out there listening that Sophie will watch this movie in the next 2 weeks. I bet Sophie will watch this movie.
I'm going to take hallucinogens and watch Palmer tonight.
Okay, you guys, I've abused everybody's time enough. Sophie, this was the laughs I needed. Thank you so much. Sophie Ross, the one, the only. What's going on this week? Anything that we need to know? Support you with anything?
No, I'm just trying to survive. No one told me that wedding planning fucking sucks this much. It fucking sucks.
Oh yeah. I was told too that I guess you posted on your Instagram stories where you were at, and cousin Hillary was like, oh my God, that's a really nice hotel she was at looking at in Charleston. Like some place you were at. She was like, that's a really nice place.
We do have our venue booked, which I'm excited about.
We're not going to dox it. So we're not going to say it here.
Yeah, I'm not going to dox my wedding because I know that like there are so many like scary stalkers that like particularly stalk me.
I know we joke, but I've had them, so I know we joke.
That's true.
If anything, they would come
to stalk Ryan. They like do not. Yeah.
That's only kind of funny for me. Yeah. I'm in like a bunker in Columbus, Ohio right now. So, but anyways, next time we're going to keep getting updates about Sophie's wedding up until the moment of this wedding. So I'm very excited about the future for this show. And here's another thing. Why don't we take hallucinogens at your wedding?
Oh my God. Why don't we take hallucinogens and like plan my wedding together?
But yes. Miss Ross, if you are listening by chance, I am so sorry for anything that we said during this hour and a half. I'm so, so sorry.
Sorry, mommy.
Bye. So Bad It's Good is a Betches Media production. The show is hosted and produced by me, Ryan Bailey, with Meditza Lopez and Sandra Fryer. Additional support provided by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Steinberg. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Video promotion by Laura Valencia. Be sure to send us your emails at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com and follow the show at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey on Instagram. And for additional craziness, go to patreon.com/sobaditsgood. Stay bad, baddies.
Betches.